There we go. Now it's a bit weird at first, but you'll get used to it fairly quickly. Okay. It's just like being on a phone in the early 2000s or whatever, like people used to do. All right. I am joined by Emily Bissaker again. Hello, Emily.
Hi.
Yay, thanks, you're back.
I was going to say thanks for having me, but
yeah,
it feels, you know.
You're sitting on a lounge and I'm in my room.
In your leopard print dressing gown.
In my leopard print dressing gown, yes. It's looks weird, but it's very comfy and it has lasted a long time.
You've got to paint that visual picture for the audience.
Everyone needs to know, yes, and I'm drinking from a brandy balloon. A snifter of the finest brandy. It's very true.
Are you actually?
No, God, no.
Oh.
That would be cool, though. I should have kept painting that picture. Why not? If I had a snifter of brandy, I would have shown you as soon as you got on the call. I would have been like, look at me.
Well, that's true. You did say you were going to go and get a drink, so.
Yes, I do. Yes, I have the finest water.
Yeah, me too.
How exciting. I'm drinking water because I am old, and as in the previous episode, Sudi suggested that I drink 8 liters of water a day. It's not that much, but it is quite a bit.
8 liters?
No, I don't drink 8 liters. It's more like, I don't know, I want to say 3 to 4.
Yeah, God, 8 liters, you'd just be, but you wouldn't be able to fit anything else in.
No, and you'd certainly be very busy going back and forth to the toilet, I would imagine.
Toilet, yeah.
Yep, exactly right. But enough about toileting habits of me. Mm-hmm. Let's get on to the toileting habits of you.
Oh, yes, let's.
Okay, so why we're having this conversation is that Emily is pregnant. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And how many weeks along are we? There's a question you won't get asked in a little while. How many weeks along are you?
28.
28 weeks. Okay, so... Yeah. You're 28 weeks pregnant. This is your first.
It is.
Of many.
we'll see how we go with one.
So the plan is to have a chat to you before baby arrives and have a chat to you after baby arrives. Now, I don't know how soon after baby arrives is. Not the next day, I wouldn't imagine. I don't think we need to record that. But maybe, who knows, you might be just so like full of adrenaline that you'd be like, yes.
Yeah, well, that's why I'd be really wired.
Like, yeah. Yes, you will. Yes, I'd say so. Yes, being wired.
And awake anyway, right? So I could,
Yep. And that's right. You will be up. So maybe we'll do this. It'll be instead of being at 7 o'clock at night, just before your bedtime, it'll be 2 o'clock in the morning, just before your bedtime.
Yeah, perfect.
So I asked a lot of our mutual friends, i.e. my wife and Alison Hill and my daughter, Noelle, some questions. Yeah. I said, well, I'm talking to Emily about her pregnancy and her forthcoming baby, and give me some questions. So I'll start off with Noelle's because they're the toughest to start off. How many toys is your baby going to have?
Oh, well. That is a good question.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, the only toy that the baby has is the one that Noelle purchased for the baby.
Yeah, she was getting right ahead of that. Yes, at least one.
At least one.
Yeah.
Right now it's one.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know, because then, like, where do you put them all?
I don't know. Around.
Yeah. I'm a bit concerned about, like, the... You know, Lego. I'm assuming there'll be a Lego obsession at some point. And then having grown up with two brothers who were in the depths of a Lego obsession and stepping on Lego quite regularly, I'm not looking forward to that.
No. So why do you think they'll have a Lego obsession?
Well, I don't know. Well, because I'm having a boy.
Uh-huh.
And Reese likes to build things.
Yeah.
So I feel like the toys will be also for Reese.
definitely Lego. He'll be getting like Lego toys age 8 to 12, and
yeah,
just after your baby arrives, he'll be like, yep,
yeah,
let's make this together.
And like the Meccano and things with little the screwdrivers and stuff. Yeah.
They make good sounds and they're very tactile, obviously. It's good.
Yeah. But yes, I think at least one.
Yeah.
Thanks to Noelle.
At least one. Great answer. And her other question, which is, you know, it's a lot, it's forward planning, but she wants to know, when you go out with your baby, how many nappies will you be taking with you? Just say, let's go into the shops. How many nappies will you take with you?
Probably at least 5.
That sounds about right.
I don't know. Is that a good amount of nappies?
I think trying to have 5 nappies with you at all times is probably a wise thing to do.
Yeah.
You're better, more happy to have too many than not enough.
Well, that's right. You wouldn't want to be caught out with no nappies. That would be terrible.
Always keep like 10 in the car, just, you know, and then eventually you'll run out and forget and you'll be like, there's always nappies in the car. No, they're not. All that stuff. Yes. All right. Yeah. Good. 5 nappies. Good.
And 1 toy.
1 toy, 5 nappies. Okay. So good. We got to the bottom of that quite quickly.
Yeah.
All right. So Alison wants to know, what are you looking forward to most? Is it, I'll give you some time to answer this, but what are you looking forward to most in the short and the long term? That makes sense.
Okay.
So what are you looking forward to, you know, with a newborn baby, and what are you looking forward to in the long term factor of being a parent, I guess?
In the short term, I think, because I think I'll just be very pleased when he arrives safely.
Yeah.
That's probably what I'm most looking forward to.
Yeah.
Just kind of getting through the birth and having him on the outside of my body.
Yeah.
That's probably what I'm most looking forward to in the short term.
Yeah. It's a good answer. And then, that desire is only going to get stronger in the next 12 weeks or so, isn't it?
I can imagine, yeah. And in the long term, I don't know. I think I know it's not consistent, but one of the things that, you know, I really liked about like your relationship, particularly with your kids, is that they're like people that you actually want to hang out with.
Right.
I think that would be really nice. And I have that relationship with my parents now where I, actually really enjoy just spending time with them.
Yeah.
So I think that's what I'm looking forward to, is just like, be like my friend.
Yeah.
And someone that, you know, hopefully we can raise a young person who is not an asshole.
You know who you sound like, Dan?
Who?
Every parent who is also a teacher.
Yeah, that's true. And
the amount of times that you have like a parent-teacher interview and the parent is actually a teacher, and I've been to parent-teacher interviews where I'm the parent, they start talking about progress and their work. And they just go, are they nice? Are they being nice in class? He's like, okay. The rest of it, I guess, sort of takes care of itself. And but yes, try not to raise an asshole. Sometimes you may think you've raised an asshole. Sometimes they will be an asshole.
Yes.
So it's a consistency, I guess, of it.
But I think that's like a very long, long-term kind of goal, isn't it? Like you probably won't reap the benefits of that for like 12 years or something.
Actually, that's a good point, but I think you sort of reap the, I don't think you get the benefit of it first. I think I think other people get the benefit of it when they start going to daycare or start going to school, and you get comments from the teacher, and they might be like being horrible to you and difficult at home, but when the teachers are saying, oh, they're so lovely, they're so kind, they're empathetic to their classmates, they help out, they're concerned about if someone's upset, like that, those kinds of things, you'll get from other people before you get it from them. I remember when Violet started year one, and a parent came and when I went to pick her up, came to tell me that she was so happy that her son was in the same class with Violet, because he talked about how nice she was and how she helped him last year when no one else did, or something like that. So that makes you go, oh, that's so nice. And then you come home and you're like, why are you mean to me?
Who are you?
Yeah. Why can't you treat me like you treat that guy? So that's a part of it, I guess, is that, you don't really reap the benefit. I don't know. Again, I've said this to you quite in the recent past, like I'm an expert of two children, not every child.
That's so,
you know, I've got two children and one of them, it can be very trying at times, and the other person has always been just a nice presence to have around. Not always, but
you
know, way more consistently, just a nice presence to
just
hang and chill out with. Whereas Violet, you know, she's not one for chilling out that often.
Yeah, I think I'm sort of feeling a lot of that quite strongly as well, because I am having a son.
Okay.
And a lot of, just in terms of like all of the things that are kind of going on in the world, I guess it's kind of amplified. I'm very hormonal, so that probably doesn't help. But, you know, when you're like reading about, you know, all of the awful things that people are doing to women in like Parliament House and the way that people are behaving, and I'm like, I will not raise a human that's going to be like that. Like, that's been but I've never really thought about that before. Obviously, because I've never needed to.
No.
But
and I guess you'd be hyper aware of that stuff too. Well, and how soon after finding out that you were having a son, did you start thinking about that?
I think pretty much immediately.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure, so they told me, I found out I was having a boy at 10 weeks pregnant.
Okay.
Because, you know, science is pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
So you do like the blood tests that screen for kind of any problems. And then as part of that chromosome screening, they can tell you the sex of the baby.
Yeah.
And she rang me, and we were walking the dog, and she rang me, and she was like, she talked to me. This is the nurse at the ultrasound place.
Yeah.
She talked to me through the results, and she was like, everything is normal, everything looks good. And then she's like, do you want to know the sex? And I was like, yes, I'd like to. She said, it's a boy. And I was like, oh my God, it's a boy. And then I was like, oh fuck, it's a boy. I was like, boys move so fast and they're so loud. And I think particularly like, you know, Reese, the, you know, is sharing 50% of this child's DNA, and he was just like a whirlwind of a child, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, jumping out of trees. What will happen if I put all of these things in the microwave? setting fire to stuff, you know, breaking all the bones because he was doing like extreme sports, and I'm like, oh God, that's my future. But I'm very excited, but at the same time I'm like, well, maybe he'll inherit my tendencies to like to sit quietly in the corner and read a book.
yeah that could be true. Right. So the question I wanted to ask you, which is based on what you've just gone over there, is, you know, you've dealt with anxiety for yourself. How have you been managing that anxiety and your often, you know, ways of, I guess that's what anxiety is, of looking into the future and being concerned. How has that been for you during pregnancy. Did that, has that taken a hold any more or any less? Is it been less about you and more about the child, or how has it manifested?
I think it's definitely been, what, like, in terms of my level of anxiety, it's definitely been worse. It's probably the worst it's been for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of that is, like you said, like, it's not just, I'm not fearful necessarily about myself anymore.
Yeah.
I now have this kind of feeling of responsibility for this other person. So that's been very, like, just in terms of wanting to, you know, you don't want to eat anything that you're not supposed to, and you don't want to do anything that you're not, like, that's not safe, and kind of second guessing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Which apparently is pretty normal. I think it would be weird if people were not concerned about their babies, but so I think, yeah, it's kind of that coupled with, for me, the thing that causes me the most anxiety is not being able to control situations.
Yeah.
And not being able to know what's going to happen next. Right. And I think pregnancy, and then I imagine parenting,
yeah,
is like the ultimate test of not being able to control anything.
Right.
So that's, yeah. So that, does that answer your question?
It does. Do you get, I mean, I guess it's like a spiral, isn't it? But what it sounds like is you've got some kind of meta anxiety, right? That you know what makes you anxious. And so now you are anxious about how anxious you're going to be when you're having a child and having a newborn and nothing's planned and there's no plan. And they don't know a plan. They just do what they do. Mm-hmm. And you have to adapt to them. No, absolutely no planning at all. Does that part of it as well? Is that a does that factor into it, that you're worried about how worried you'll be?
Oh, definitely. And I think initially when I found out I was pregnant, I was very stressed about not about being pregnant. Like, that was very exciting. That was, like, you know, that was very positive news, but it was kind of, holy shit, like, what do I do now sort of thing.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I can't get, and then I was anxious about being anxious because I didn't want the anxiety to affect the baby.
Yes. Yeah. Now that's very common. That is a very common thing I've heard pregnant women say, is that, oh no, I'm getting really anxious. But then I'm like, is my anxiety affecting on my stress? Oh no, my that's blood right. pressure's and up. Like, is that affecting the, oh, like all of that stuff.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, is the baby going to be an anxious baby because I'm an anxious mother, and, you know, like all of that stuff. But,
all very familiar, yes.
Yes, but then I guess we go back to the whole, like, that the baby has 50% of Reese's genes, and Reese is like a walking Valium. So, like, it's just...
Yeah.
You know, but nothing phases him, so...
That's the joyful thing, though, is like...
Yeah.
I think I remember doing something quite similar of like, oh, I hope the child has this of Justine and this of me and all this stuff. And then, yeah, children come out and they're like, nope, I'm me. Yeah.
You're like, I don't know where you got any of those personalities.
Yeah, no, this is me. Yeah. And sorry if you were hoping for something else, but nope. This
yeah, is that's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the same for both kids. Like, the first one, we were like, phew, this is hard work. And then we prepared like the second one. Okay, this is going to be hard work. And then, no, it's not hard work. Okay.
Yeah, they're so different, aren't
they? Yeah. Like, if we had another child after that, like, what would we expect? Yeah. But, you know, I've said it many times before, but if our children were born in the opposite order, or, you know, like, then number one, we would have been super annoying first parents, because we would have been like, it's fine. You just have to be relaxed around your child. And then they'll be relaxed. Like, oh, it's just, they're super chilled out because we are, that kind of thing. We didn't have that, luckily. We had, oh my God, this is really hard.
Yeah.
But if it was the other way around, we would have been like, oh, second child's coming along. Hopefully they'll be the same as the first. And And then it would have just been mayhem. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what we would have done, but that's the thing where I do remember that similar anxieties or similar thinking about, oh, what would they be like? How would they be like me and Justine? And then you're just like, oh no, I forget. They're just individual people. You know, everyone hates it when they're like, oh, you say that, you're just like your mother when you say that, or you're just like your father, you look like your dad. And you're just like, that's lame. Yeah. I don't want to be like them. I want to be me. So that can be the issue. So yeah. Yes. Justine had a question that sort of tagged on to that, which was, how do you navigate? She was saying even in the 12, 13 years since Violet was born, the difference in what's available on the internet. And she said, like, when she was pregnant and especially after the baby was born, she had one book, which was like her Bible. I'll have to find out what it's called, she says. I'll have to find it and give it to Emily. So that'll be another book you can have. I think it's Baby Love, maybe. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. A few people have recommended that to me, actually.
And she said that was her Bible. It was really straightforward. It was there was no judgment in it. It was just like, this is what happened. Or it was more like, if you feel this way, this is some things you can do, rather than this is how you train a child, from day one, or your baby's not doing this, what's wrong with you? That kind of
thing. And if it's not in a sleep schedule by, 48 hours of old, like, what are you doing wrong kind of thing?
Yes, you should be teaching your child from the minute they arrive. So Justine wanted to know, how do you navigate the overload of the information that you can access on the internet? Are you good at just not looking for it, or is it sometimes overwhelming?
I have had to make a very deliberate choice to not access a lot of that stuff because that was one of the things that was just absolutely fueling my anxiety. Because you go and, like, I know it, you know, it's great that we have so access to so much information, and some of it's very good quality information. Like, my GP has kind of said, well, you know, if you have questions about, just things like, is it safe to dye my hair in pregnancy, or like, is it safe to, like, get a manicure and stuff? There are, like, the Royal Women's Hospital in Victoria has all these fact sheets and, so, like, that was really helpful when I was like, oh, I've got hay fever. Can I take, this antihistamine kind of thing? If I didn't have a kind of a doctor's appointment anytime soon, I could look at that, and that was fine.
Okay.
But if you go, like,
sorry, I'm just going to go back for a sec and say, number one, can you dye your hair when you're pregnant?
Yes.
Can you, what was the other one? Can you get a manicure?
Yes.
What? I have to ask for that one. What was the concern of having a manicure? The fumes?
I think the fumes, and then also, but that was what I was going to say, is like, so if you go on to, like the Royal Women's, that there's a hospital in Sydney that does fact sheets and stuff too, which is actually really helpful. But if you just Googled, can I dye my hair when pregnant?
Yeah.
Be like, no, absolutely not. Can I get a manicure when I'm pregnant? No, you cannot.
Wow.
Like, it's very dangerous. How dare you even think about that?
So that's what Jazz was saying. The judgment of choice, like of the choice you're making.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things, like, so I was doing it kind of for a while where I would just be Googling, like, my baby's head circumference is this, like, what does that mean?
Right.
And it's just, it's the worst because I think it was my brother actually that pointed out to me pretty early on, which was, it, you know, makes complete sense, but I hadn't really considered it. He was like, no one is going to post on the internet about the most kind of straightforward, uneventful, like had a baby, everything went fine, nothing to see here, just got on with it.
Yeah.
Like no one is going to go to the internet and post in like a mum's freaking forum thing.
Yeah.
Like everything is fine. No, it's the women whose babies come out with 12 arms or something like that.
They come out doing butterfly or something like that.
That's right. And yeah. then I read that and yeah. go, oh shit, like, you know, that's what's going to happen to my baby.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like I initially was doing a lot of that and then was like, no, this has to stop. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, good. It's good that you had that awareness, I guess.
Yeah.
To stop that. And it's going to continue, I'm sure, because that's what Jazz was saying too, is the lead up, the pregnancy is stressful and the judgment of can you do this, can you do that? But then when you have the baby, it's the comparison, you know, Alison always says, it's the thief of joy. So certainly with newborns is checking how everyone else's newborn is doing. Again, no one's posting. I mean, they might post things
my
like,
my baby is not
sleeping. Yeah, or they might post, you know, my baby's not sleeping and I'm just exhausted all the time and covered in vomit and poop. They may post that, but I remember very clearly Justine posting something about Violet being a pain in the ass, and her mum was like, you shouldn't be posting that negative stuff about your child, which is probably true because, you know, children can grow up and find out what you've said about them in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But that point of view was, no, you should only be posting all the positive stuff. Like that was a request from people. To be like, no, we don't want to see the negative, only the positive. Show us the beautiful things.
And it's hard as well. Like even having made like a really deliberate choice to kind of rein in my Googling and staying well away from things like Canberra mums, I just cannot that's an entirely separate podcast episode in itself, I'm sure.
Yeah, we could just read through crazy actually it would be a good podcast, like crazy answers to straightforward questions.
Yes, exactly. And it all ends in disaster. But even then, not kind of, you know, trying to stay away from the internet and stuff. But then I've read like two or three books about kind of, you know, like what not, you know, one of them was what to expect when you're expecting. That wasn't like, you know, groundbreaking, but like even two books that I've read recently, one of them is written by a obstetrician and a pediatrician in Victoria, and the other one is written by a midwife.
Yeah.
And they have like completely contradictory information about like bottle feeding and breastfeeding and sleep routines or lack of routines, and it's really hard to be like, well, you guys are meant to be the experts.
Yeah. But again,
again,
there's 7 billion people on the planet. So at the moment, not everyone that's ever lived. So that's the thing is like, well, how many people are you basing that on? Or
where does
this method come from? I don't know.
It's all very contradictory anyway.
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely contradictory. And like I said, it's infinite in its scope, but it's also the judgment of it can be very conflicting as well.
Yeah.
Of like how do you deal with that? I don't know. Good luck with that. We'll catch up with you on the other side where we'll see how you're going with going on Canberra Mums and saying, what brand of nappy should I buy? And then seeing how crazy the response is.
Have some very stern words with me if I start doing that.
You need to use paper bark, strip from a tree, and use like, how dare you? I don't know. Yes. All right. I will have stern words if you're trawling the internet. I mean, the hard thing is, and as Jazz said, one of the hard things will be just being up in the middle of the night, you know, feeding a child or, you know, settling a child and having nothing to occupy your mind, but you do have access to the internet. So you can,
yeah, that's true.
That's very easy to, and again, like I used to get up with Violet in the middle of the night and settle her, and my good friend Nick, he gave me his, I don't know, Nintendo DS or something with a game on it, which I would play while rocking the bassinet or whatever she was in, probably a stroller, until she would go to sleep. And because I would imagine Reese would do something similar, eventually she would settle really quickly and I would stay up in the middle of the night still playing because I was addicted to the game. So there's all kinds of things that can happen in the middle of the night. So again, we'll check in and see how you're going with dealing with that. Now, I've got a couple more questions. I've got one from Allison. Actually, they might both be from Allison. The first one is, if you were a bajillionaire, her words, what would you outsource in the raising of your children?
Oh, wow. Does it have to be child specific?
No.
I think everything else. So like the washing, the cleaning, the cooking. Because I think I wouldn't want to outsource the child.
No.
But all of the things that I know will be like, you know, I'll feel like I have to do those things too. Yeah. That'd be nice. Yeah. Is she offering?
Maybe. let's put it. We'll put it to her and see if she'll be like, oh, sure, I'll come and do the washing. Yeah, but you know, that's
my laundry.
That's what everyone should do if people have. That's right. Yes, recently given birth is take them food, do their washing, help clean, all of that stuff. Do the washing up.
Yeah.
And then leave.
I loved Noelle's, Noelle telling me that you guys were going to bring me food and toilet paper and then go.
Yes. That's we've already worked out that plan. Bring you food, bring you toilet paper, say what a lovely child you have and then leave you alone.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yes. Because that's what happens. People come in and they pop in and they say, tell me the story of the birth again. And you've told it.
Yeah.
Lots of time. And like I said, that's where you get, I always found I got weird adrenaline rushes from reliving the experience. And then they leave and you're like, oh, I'm a bit wired and I should be resting. Mm. And it's all that good stuff. All that good stuff.
And I guess people probably think they're like people, like especially like, you know, I've probably done this where people who don't have kids and don't necessarily understand how it feels to have just had a baby.
Mm.
You know, you think you're doing them a favor by like keeping them company and hanging out for like an hour and having lots of cups of tea, but actually they probably just want you to get lost. Like,
yeah, that's it. Come in, say that looks nice.
Yeah, good job.
Your child looks like the standard old man face. like a strange old man face on a baby's body. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. See you later.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is hard. Yeah. And like you said, it's hard because you do like the company and you do like talking, but you find maybe when you're exhausted a few hours later, you're like, maybe I don't want anyone to visit. And some days I think it's good to be able to, I mean, that depends on who you're saying it to, how good your friends or your family, how they react. If you say, do not come. I know I said come around, but do not come over. I'm not in the mood. I'm in no state. I haven't slept. And again, that depends. Some people, depends how far they've traveled and depends like how often they've been over or how often. Mm. But yeah, a lot of times you're like, you know what? It's not the time. But sometimes you feel like, oh, maybe I'll just do it. I don't want to cause a fuss.
Yeah, you don't want to be rude, do you? That's really hard, I think.
I think you're allowed to be. I don't know when the grace period ends, maybe 2 weeks. But I think you're allowed to be rude to start off with. But again, it depends who you're being rude to. You'll have to navigate that, I guess.
Yes.
The question I wanted to ask, and, you know, I've found myself doing it throughout this podcast, is you're pregnant, people find out you're pregnant, they just want to give you helpful advice.
Mm.
Don't you get sick of the advice?
Yes.
the unasked for advice. Like I said, it's impossible to avoid. I've done it probably 3 times and caught myself doing it where I'm like, why am I giving you this advice? Again, this is from the 2 children I've had, not every child.
Yeah.
So I don't know the answer to how do we stop people. Stop giving pregnant people advice. That's probably a good way to look at it. And anyway, we'll wrap it up soon because I know you've got to go to bed soon. You sent me a message the other day saying if we can be finished by 8 o'clock, you know, recently, obviously being pregnant, I go to bed early. And then you sent me a message 20 seconds later going, that's a lie. Actually, I'm always in bed early. I thought that was
my lifestyle is I'm prepared for children.
Yes. Being in bed as early as possible.
Yeah.
Sorry. Cat running in and out. Okay. So the last question, which is again from Alison, and it's a very good question. And it may not be as specific as this, but do you have a strategy for dealing with people who want to cuddle and hold your child and you don't want them to?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I maybe part of that is like, just and I feel like I'm kind of starting to do it a little bit now, like with my stomach and being quite protective of people wanting to touch my stomach.
How often does that happen?
Obviously, quite frequently.
Really?
Yeah.
Just everyone, randoms?
Not strangers. Yeah. But you know, I work with a lot of people who are very excited that I'm pregnant and. Right.
I want to touch your belly.
Yeah, like they're excited. They're excited about it, and there's a baby in there, and I don't know. But like a bit because the weather's getting colder. I think that's good.
Oh yes, right.
And so anyway, that was kind of that was what I was going to say was like because when I'm due, it's going to be freezing.
Yeah.
So I think you know probably lots of like baby wearing.
Right, like, yes.
Yeah, you can look at him from there. Yes, he is very cute. Yep, like.
Yeah.
Yep.
There is a move that people will do, and it's usually the people you don't want to hold your children, where they will stretch out their 2 arms, like extend them, and then like the 2 slots of a pinball machine will be like, which will indicate, just, you know, give him to me. No, there'll usually be a nod, like just especially if they're crying, and they'll be like, "Just give him here," or "I'll settle." Yeah. Like it's all implied, and I always hated it with my kids. Was like, I don't know how to go. No, especially like at school where you know, like there's people at school who want to hold. I mean, I had students with Noelle. I had a student say, "Can I hold your baby?" And I said, "Sure." And then another student came up and said, can I have a go? Probably. Can I have a go? And I said, no, absolutely not. So it's like that. It's like, oh, I don't know how you judge. And, you know, the student, I don't know why. I just thought, oh, yeah, I'll let her hold it. She held her. Noelle went to sleep on her straight away. And you're just like, yeah, you can tell. I don't know. You'll see what I mean when you have a kid.
Yeah.
But, some people will do that action. Like, it's okay. It's me. Like I'm good at this. There's a pride in that people have in making your child go to sleep on them.
Yeah. And I guess it just depends like why you wouldn't want them to be holding your child in the first place.
Yeah.
Like if you don't know them.
Yeah.
That's a pretty straightforward situation. But yeah, I guess it just, I honestly don't know, like maybe I'll get super, cause that's probably one of the things I struggle with now is that like, you know, as much as I say like, yeah, I don't really enjoy it when people want to kind of touch my stomach. I kind of don't, I'm not going to be like, stop doing that. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
I've never told someone, don't touch me. But maybe I'll get, you know, all protective.
Yeah, you might get to a point where you're just annoyed and sore and tired and you might just say, oh, my God. Okay. Don't touch people's bellies. That's weird. Yeah. Would you touch anyone else's belly just regularly? Just go up and touch them on the stomach? That would be strange.
Yeah. My favorite one is like people commenting that it's getting bigger.
Yeah.
I've had several students do that, which is quite funny because they're like, every time I see you, your baby is getting bigger. I'm like, yes, that's the idea.
Yeah, you say, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm like, that's good, isn't it? It's meant to be doing that.
It's meant to be getting bigger. Yes. Yeah. It's so, wow. Okay, well, we'll wrap it up. But anything else? Is there any other thing that you are looking forward to, or even, you know, apart from the obvious, you know, childbirth fun?
Yeah.
What do you think is your most concern for having a newborn? Whether they'll like.
Why do you want to end the podcast?
I'm just going to suggest maybe. Do you what I'm getting towards is, do you worry that your child won't like you?
Not initially.
No.
They have to.
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah.
I guess so.
I keep them alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So not initially.
Yeah.
I'm sure that I will when they'll tell me that they hate me.
When they tell you I hate you. Yes, that's true. Yeah. That's always dependent on your mood. Like, either when my child tells me they hate me, I either get really offended or I laugh outwardly at them. Like, oh, okay. Cool.
But I'm not concerned necessarily about that. I think I'm just genuinely like so stuck in this this idea that like, so you have this tiny baby.
Yeah.
And then they just let you leave the hospital with it.
Yeah.
And you don't have to like sign anything.
You don't have to do a course.
Or prove that you can do anything. That just seems bizarre to me.
This is a classic example of a high achiever. You are looking for some kind of you're looking for some kind of rubric.
I want an A.
Yeah,
you want an A in newborn survival. Yeah.
You can't let me go home unless I've got an A in newborn survival.
Or at least a detailed set of instructions.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what the books and the internet's for. That's as much detailed instructions as you could possibly have, which is, you know, put them down and let them cry and pick them up as soon as they cry and feed them when they're crying and don't feed them when they're crying.
Yeah.
Change them only twice a day. Do not change your routine. Change your routine to match the child. All of that stuff. It goes round and round and round.
Well, that's you know, one of the books was like, bath them every night, not because they need a bath, but because it's very relaxing for the baby and they'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
And the other book was like, do not bath them every night.
It's bad for their skin. Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know anymore.
But that's the thing, all the advice that you read, it goes out the window because then you have an individual where you're like, oh, what's working? I don't know. Whatever works, you cling on to it, right? That's like, well, this is working. I'm not going to consult a book with something that's working and then go, oh, it says not to do that. So I'll stop doing, like, I don't know. You'll have fun. It'll be fun. It'll be an experience that you haven't had before.
I think that's the thing that I'm most concerned about is just like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll work it out.
Yeah, most people do, don't they?
Addictive kind of thing that takes over.
Yeah. And that's another one. Let it take over your life. Do not let your child rule you. Yeah. You are in charge, all that good stuff. It's all coming your way. You're going to have so much fun. I can't wait to talk to you on the other side of this birth. I don't know why I keep calling it the other side. It's still the same side, but... and we'll chat again and we'll see. And maybe I'll encourage you to listen back to this before we chat again and see what we learned and didn't learn. And if we got some of the answers out today or if we were just hopeless.
Paralyzed by indecision.
Paralyzed by indecision.
Too many resources and opinion.
Well, yes, that will probably happen to you standing in front of a cot with a crying baby, just like, any ideas?
Well, even picking the cot.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah, it's all the choice, isn't it? It's choice paralysis of, well, I've got to pick one, but what if the other ones? I don't know.
Yeah, and then someone told me the other day, like, there's this chemical in in like all sorts of baby wipes that can cause eczema.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, we're fucked.
Well, do you know what? These are the things with these like things of advice. Well, there's this and this. And if you're using wipes and your baby gets developed something, then you stop using it.
Like, yeah.
That's, well, yeah, that's, I don't
that
know.
Was my logic too. Yeah. But
it's like, oh, I tried to feed them this and they didn't like it. And oh, so we've been trying to feed them the same food for 8 months now and they still won't eat it. I don't understand. Like, you would just, I don't know, just try something else. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, I look forward to hearing about what bio-friendly, enviro-friendly wipes you've got.
Maybe we'll just use some rag and some water.
Hey, you know, it's good enough for your grandparents.
You know, right.
Good enough for you. We need to get back to that, apparently, apart from the smallpox of it all and all that stuff. We don't need that.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right, well, Emily, thank you so much for taking us through this part. I hope the next 12 weeks, I don't know, do we want them to, it's a good question. Do you want the next 12 weeks to go quickly or slowly?
Quickly.
Yeah.
Very impatient.
Yeah, yeah. It gets it gets exciting too.
Yeah. You're
excited. Getting closer.
Yeah. I am excited. I think once I got to 20 weeks and I was like, oh, halfway, like, okay.
Yeah.
And then I stopped vomiting too, and that was good. So yeah, I'm like, I'm excited.
Oh, well, I'll talk to you in a few weeks and we'll see how excited you still are.
He said, you know.
Gleefully?
Gleefully,
yes. Thank you. That's it.
That's okay. Thank you.